Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
This is Allison McCaig. This is episode 52 of A Pod of Their Own, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So this is going to be, well, we said it was going to be a quick episode. Those are always famous last words for us. But at the very least, it's a more, quote, normal episode where it's just the three of us. We don't have a guest this week and we aren't live for what feels like the first time in a really long
time.
Yeah,
this feels weird.
Yeah, it's like strangely intimate.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah, it's all quiet. We don't have...
Spoiler alert, it's not going to stay quiet.
Yeah, spoiler alert, we aren't going to be quiet for long. But we'll start with something a little more lighthearted than what's going on generally in baseball right now, which is that the Mets being sold rumors have increased once again, or fire back up the old rumor train. It seemed to have died with, you know, Steve Cohen not buying the Mets and that deal falling through, and then J-Rod was going to buy the Mets and then they were not going to buy the Mets. But now J-Rod might buy the Mets again. So those rumors are back with a vengeance, because I think they kind of died to begin with because, you know, on their own, Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, rich, incredibly rich as they are not rich enough to own a baseball team, but they have since roped in other folks to join their bid, namely, the vitamin water guy, Mike Repel, I guess is how you pronounce his name. I'm not exactly sure. But he's the vitamin water guy. He's been connected to trying to buy the Mets in the past. So he has resurfaced. David Wright was an early vitamin water spokesperson, I've been told.
Oh, yes, he was. I remember I went to school in Fordham. And when I was in college, I saw the Wright Stuff ads on, like, every train station, every city bus, like... And obviously, I mean, I'm not complaining. I was very happy to see the right stuff everywhere. But so maybe that's a good sign. Who knows?
Yeah. So we've got Vitamin Water guy in on the bid. Also, apparently, Dave Portnoy.
Don't even say his name. Maybe like conjure him.
I know.
I'm sorry if I blow out our audio, but...
Major
fart
noises.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Large amounts of fart noises.
I guess the only thing
that is like, I don't, the word comforting is absolutely the wrong word to use here, but I guess the only thing that is not 100% garbage about this is that the Mets are basically already run by the same basic type of person, so I guess it's kind of a lateral move, what a lateral move.
But I thought we were like moving away, like if there was any time to move away from the culture of toxic masculinity that promotes, like, wouldn't that be now? Like, can't we all take a look at ourselves and say, hey, we're better than this, but it's the Mets and they're not better than this.
They are not.
Nope.
Oh well.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I don't know if I could support the team. I really can't.
Yeah, we've got disgusting Barstool guy is potentially in on it. I mean, we don't know for sure. We just know that he's like friends with A-Rod and J-Lo and friends with Vitamin Water guy, and you know, and
well, and I think to be fair, the rumor also did get started, I believe, when he made some cutesy, I didn't see it personally, but some cutesy tweet about like being anonymously contacted by an anonymous team, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And that does seem like they're kind of just total bullshit, like that they would just make up because they can and they think it's funny. So, I mean, I guess take everything with a grain of salt. But I don't even like to think about it.
No, also, it's like, very icky.
He also, like, tweeted his, like, net worth, which, like, is something I love to tweet about personally.
Oh, you know? God. Very
always a sign of a really all-around solid human being is when that's your,
yeah,
it's your go-to move.
Stonks. And all the people, like, were like, oh, he'll change the culture. Not for the better. Like, what culture do you think he'll be changing?
What's he? Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. So yeah, J-Rod might buy the Mets, who the hell knows, maybe they'll get a veritable group of billionaires together to buy the Mets. Other bids, they aren't the only group. Other bids include the Devils and 76ers owner, which like produced the rumor that there would be like a weird regional sports network that would include the Devils, Sixers, and Mets, which is like, find me the Venn diagram of people that appeals to, which is like zero people.
Yeah, there's like four guys, and if you just pause for 1 second, you can picture those guys.
Oh yeah,
you can see them right now. They are really, really those guys.
Yeah, Philly, Jersey, and New York.
It's like a weird, like, very small area of like South Central Jersey. There's trust me. There's like three guys, and they all hang out at the same diner. But yeah, that's that's a thing that potentially would happen if that guy ends up owning the Mets, is that there would be a weird regional sports network of all the teams he owns for the three guys at the South Central Jersey diner that root for all three. But yeah, then there's another group that emerged, I guess today or yesterday, billionaire brothers David and Simon Rubin. I don't know much about them. They're not American.
They're British? Right?
Yeah.
They're
British guys. I don't know much about them. They're like, you know, real estate, rich real estate douchebags like a lot of these guys are.
They don't seem like they're in it to make the Mets win a World Series.
Yeah, they're like generic real estate dudes who like don't actually care about baseball. So.
No, they're in it for the real estate. But I'm trying to think. There was another one. It was the owners of the Florida Panthers.
Oh.
So it's like more hockey dudes. Let me see if I can find it.
I didn't even know about that. There's so many bids like, to buy the Mets.
Yeah.
It's like a game of Mad Libs.
It is.
Billionaire it's like, Mad Libs.
Random people. Let me see. I know I tweeted about it.
Oh, Vitamin Water guy is also Body Armor guy, in case anyone wanted to know exactly what type of bro this dude is.
Oh, wait. Former NY Mercantile Exchange chairman and current Florida Panthers owner Vincent Viola.
Okay.
He's considering joining A-Rod to join the Mets, to buy the Mets.
Oh, okay. So he's, like, in the A-Rod group.
Yeah, so he's part of the A-Rod group.
Okay. The more the merrier.
All right.
Except Barstool guy, he's not invited.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the Florida Panthers are bad, though. Like, no matter what they do, they're bad.
I mean, that well, so be
he'll be right
change.
At home.
That's true. Like, he'll try, but just be really bad at it.
That yeah, sounds very Mets to me. I'm
that
ready.
That checks out. On brand already.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
If somebody was like, this guy's going to buy the Mets and he wins everything he plays, I'd be like, stop it. Just, you can't fool me. I wasn't born yesterday.
That was kind of Cohen, though. Like, he made his fortune and, like, just bought artwork that's worth more than the Mets.
Yeah, but he also, like, almost went to jail for securities fraud.
But he didn't, see? But he did pay, like, the largest fine in history, I think. Which is still pocket change for him, but still.
Yeah. The Wilpons are just so freaking stupid. Like, they could have been out of this before.
Is it the Wilpons or is it Jeffy?
I mean, it's probably mostly Jeff Wilpon. But the Wilpons could have been out of this before everything went to shit, and they were like, nope, we like our shit pile, we think we'll hold on to it, and now they're stuck holding the bag here.
We couldn't possibly keep one of baseball's great minds out of the driver's seat of a major league team. We need Jeff Wilpon touching everything he can, because that man is King Midas.
Yeah, but what a fitting end, though. Like, something blowing up spectacularly in their faces and them having to sell it, like, pennies on the dollar. Like, that's just them in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I will say, it certainly seems from the quantity of rumors going around that they really, really need to sell. There has been basically a nonstop run of sale rumors for weeks now. So I'm getting the sense that this is pretty urgent.
Yeah. They were already desperate before this. And, like, again, like, I think I've said this exact line on this podcast before. I don't claim to, like, know business, but to me, doesn't seem like the right business move when you have no leverage to be like, but we demand control of SNY and, like, all this, and still, yeah, like, decision-making control for 5 years and all this stuff. Doesn't seem like,
wasn't it even beyond 5 years? I don't have a short-term memory anymore, but I'm fairly sure that he'd even agreed to let Jeff have a role for 5 years, but they wanted it to
more
go on in perpetuity, basically.
Well, I think they weren't gonna officially sell for 5 years, but they were still gonna control SNY.
Yeah, the SNY part was the part they were, like, refusing to give up in.
Yes. Yeah.
Which and is then, but also, like, what makes their, the money.
Yeah. And also, weren't they, like, wasn't their, like, credit rating just downgraded or something?
Sounds right.
The whole thing just reeks of 2 10s for a 5. Like, just really thinking that these guys have got them. They've really, like, they're really going to pull in this big fish. And no, they're not.
Like I said, I don't know how to do a business, but it, New York Mets' Citi Field debt is downgraded to below investment grade. Don't know what that means, but it sounds bad. And that was just on June 4th.
Cool. Sounds great. We're really, really chugging along here. Awesome.
Yeah, all this is, like, above my head, but being downgraded doesn't seem like a good thing.
Well, upgraded is usually a good thing. So I'm going to go ahead and
say downgrade.
Use some fancy logic there.
And wasn't, yeah, and wasn't Fred Wilpon literally mentioned by name as far as the owners that wanted to, like, renegotiate way back when the first March negotiation about the season was in place? And wasn't Fred Wilpon mentioned by name as one of the owners being like, no?
It was Jeff.
Oh, is Jeff? Of course it was
Jeff. It was Jeff, yeah. God, and then, Jesus. Yeah, and then Cuomo blew up his spot.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah, I forget what Cuomo said. Because, if I vaguely...
Yeah, because Cuomo familiar. Just, like, casually name-dropped him, and it was like, oops, maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah, and he totally blew up Jeffy's spot. Because then Jeffy was somewhere the next day and was like, no, we're still intending to sell, but then wouldn't answer any other questions either.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that was the Andrew Cuomo says Mets owner Jeff Wilpon is open to restarting a season if the players take a salary cut. So this was right after they made that initial, like, March, like, late March agreement to, like, basically the players saying we will take prorated salary based on the number of games played, and MLB was like, cool. But then MLB came back with, like, but what if we kept cutting your salary? And Jeff Wilpon was one of the owners that was like, what if we cut their salary more, though?
So, of course, the Wilpons' frugality, if you will, helped start the shit show, helped lunch, helped stir it, but yeah, of course they were involved. Like, well, the rest of baseball, welcome to our hell. You see what we put up with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, one of the chief shitsters here. cool.
Yep.
It's all felt very familiar.
Yep.
The negotiations. I'm like, I recognize that cologne.
Mm-hmm. Reeks of Met.
Yeah.
Could that be the title of this episode?
Yes. Okay. I'm on the recap Mets. This week. Reeks of Met. This whole thing smacks of Met.
Smacks of Met.
No one would have ever thought an entrenched community like Hollywood could let someone come in and completely disrupt the content.
I'm Ronnie Mola.
And I'm Peter Kafka.
And we are the hosts of the new season of Land of the Giants, The Netflix Effect. We're exploring all things Netflix by talking to the people who started the company.
We'll get into their bruising battle with Blockbuster.
That was 20 times larger than us, which is not a good place to be. Okay, so in many ways, why I feel like so randomly lucky to have survived.
We'll look at the mistake that could have ended the company.
In hindsight, it was incredibly tone deaf and it blew up in our faces as it should have.
And we'll talk about how Netflix took over our screens and how they plan to win the war for our attention.
Land of the Giants, The Netflix Effect. From Recode and the Vox Media Podcast Network.
First episode drops June 23rd. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I guess that's a good transition into our baseball segment, which is kind of the majority of what we have to talk about this week, because obviously there's a lot to talk about.
And I did just get the alert. The deal is done.
Deal is done. All right. Deal is done.
They agreed on those health protocols.
So the
deal,
I'm going to put deal in extreme air quotes because and basically.
And put health protocols in air quotes too.
Also that. Because basically what happened was is like originally, like we mentioned back in March, the players agreed to prorated salaries based on the number of games played. Once it became clear that baseball was not going to start on time, it was kind of like, okay, we'll take a pay cut based on how many games are played. And MLB was like, cool. But then MLB was like, yeah, but we're going to cut your salary more because like we're not having fans at the games, and so we're gonna cry poor and try to make you guys look like the bad guy. And MLB and MLBPA kept going back and forth, proposing and counter proposing and counter proposing, and nobody and like everybody was saying no and holding their stand. And then basically
in a very public way.
Yes.
Too.
Oh yeah. And then basically it got to the point where they could not agree, and so MLB unilaterally forced a season. All the owners voted to allow Rob Manfred to impose a season on the players. So that's what's happening now. And it's basically they're imposing the max amount of games that the owners were willing to have, paying the full prorated salary that was originally agreed to back in March, which turns out to be 60 games. So that's
what's
happening.
Remember when they were proposing 180? That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, if 60 games seems like, oh, that's a good number of games, that's, like, barely two spring trainings.
Oh, God. When you put it that way.
That's how many games that is.
Well, I mean, I guess it's better than the 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 40's, like, not even a real baseball season
that's
at all.
That's like a long road trip, basically. Toiling in the desert.
How long the Mets road trips feel.
Yes.
True. True. So, yeah, there's going to be 60 games in 66 days. Get ready, guys. Opening day on July 24th. And the players have to report to spring training on July 1st, which is a week from now, basically.
That is not enough time to follow CDC recommended quarantine for travel.
Nope.
Nope.
So that's, buckle in.
So we're already ignoring the guidelines, so that's cool.
Yep. Right off the bat, ignoring guidelines and like many facilities are like currently were closed down because of a COVID spike. So, but we're still gonna do spring training.
Gonna do
apparently.
This. Like happening. Texas just started running out of hospital beds. So
good.
Why not have a baseball season?
Are they still planning on having fans in the stands in Texas?
I had forgotten about that until you just mentioned it. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. in this scenario and say that, no, they will not do that.
I mean,
but
I
it also,
call.
Yeah, but also, so like, the governor of Texas also just came out today and like asked people to please stay home. Like, of course he wouldn't
mandate
ever consider like actually having a mandate of a shelter order because, you know, why do something the correct way?
I don't think he mandated masks either. I think he just...
No, they haven't mandated anything, but it exactly. also, like, it is June 20, whatever the hell, June 23rd right now, and
time
he is
a flat
like,
circle.
Begging people to stay home. It is absolutely within the realm of possibility that within the next, say, 2 weeks, there will be some sort of a mandate, which begs the question... sorry, I misused begs the question there. I apologize to my debate teacher, which raises the question of what happens then? Like, if Texas or any other state or city reimposes sheltering in place orders, what does that mean that baseball has to stop in that city?
Well, that's the problem, too, is baseball still fully anticipating travel.
Yeah.
So
lots of travel.
Yeah. Like pretty much a third, like all of California is bad right now. Arizona, okay. Texas.
Arizona's one of those states that could be shut down again really soon. Like yeah. That's totally possible.
Florida very bad.
Florida is messed up, but they're never gonna close down.
No,
they're just gonna
won't
die.
Get to it. Yeah. So you have a third of the teams playing in states where it's either really bad and you really want players playing there, or it'll be there in lockdown and can't go anyway. So
or they shouldn't. Or but what might actually end up happening is that there's the economic pressure to allow it all anyway.
Yeah, but just, also...
Yeah, they're basically going to be like, baseball players are essential workers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say that. They were already deemed essential workers, so they're not going to care.
It's so irresponsible.
It's
so messy.
It's so irresponsible, and it's just... And, okay, I will for a second... I don't usually do this on the show, but I will for a second plug an Amazing Avenue article in the middle of the show, written by Vaz.
Yes.
He wrote an editorial entitled, "It Still Isn't Safe for Baseball to Return in America," and he's absolutely right. And the comments were a tire fire of people being
sure
like,
sure they were.
I'm bored. I want baseball. This is America. And just like,
oh, God.
Stop. I'm bored.
I want baseball. Like, I don't... This feeling that, like, lives are important, it doesn't preclude missing baseball and wanting baseball.
Like, right. The other day... I don't even remember now. I want to say it was the beginning of June. I got in my car and Boys of Summer came on and I just started uncontrollably sobbing. Because it was like, the Boys of Summer are gone. Nobody's on the road. Nobody's on the beach. And I just could not. So I went from like sobbing to Boys of Summer because I love baseball to now them declaring baseball and I hate it. Like, I don't feel good that they're saying they're going to play baseball because to me, it's not worth it. Like, I even pointed out the other day, players who have underlying conditions can opt out and not play and still get service time and pay. Fine, great. But it excludes their families. And what about coaches? Jeremy Accardo's daughter has cancer. So I know he's not covered in the union. And plus, coaches are older, too. What about Dusty Baker? He plays in Texas, of all places.
Well, and also, like, I mean, so they'll get their service time and they'll get paid, but are they going to get penalized in the free agent market
or in
arbitration? I mean, whether or not it's like, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be like official, but it would be more than apparent to anybody looking. You can say, and there's the social stigma of opting out, you know, that's... There are lots of reasons why one might be vulnerable to COVID that, like, are private for good reason. And, like, it's not enough to say that you can opt out for certain reasons. Like, it's just, it, the system won't work that way.
And like everybody keeps saying, and we've even mentioned this in our Slack channel, like everybody thinks the scale is either one, it's a mild case, or 10, you're dead. They don't think there's any gray area in between. Like, you, it can have serious lasting consequences, even if you don't die from it. Your career could end.
Well, allow me to pull the my mother almost died of coronavirus card, which is not a card I pull very often. But, so she was, if I may borrow a phrase, in the best shape of her life before she got sick. And, by the way, thank God, because it probably saved her life. But she ended up in the ICU on a ventilator. And, like, she is in her early 60s. And, again, healthy as a horse. There certainly half of the coaching staff is probably in, you know, equivalent or worse shape than she was. So she went on a ventilator. She eventually, God bless, came off the ventilator. And she was sent home after having, she had a negative test and was sent home. You know, this is after the positive test, obviously. She then had to quarantine from her husband for another 2 weeks after the positive test, or the negative test, rather. And then, really, they kept kind of wanting to restart the clock on her quarantine because she was coughing so much. But they finally realized that she wasn't coughing because she was actively infected. She was just coughing because her lungs are now garbage. And like, and you know, she's been working her ass off. She did a whole bunch of PT. Like, she has been an absolute rock star. I don't know if you're listening to this, Mom. I love you. Sometimes you're listening. Yay. but like, it's now, I mean, she was one of the first people everyone knew to get sick. This was, I'm doing the math, like almost 3 whole months ago. And she's like kind of almost back to normal now. I mean, almost, certainly not all the way, but like, that's the length of the season.
Yep.
Like any player who gets that even or coach for that matter, gets like remotely as sick as she did, they're, that's it. The season's over for them. And I don't think that those two teams of minor leaguers are going to be sufficient to cover 30 teams worth of players getting knocked out for 4-6 weeks.
Yeah. And so, and, as Maggie just alluded to, the baseball knows this. Baseball knows this. And they have made 2 full teams in Nashville, apparently. There will be 2 full teams of unsigned players. So, like, Yasiel Puig, if he doesn't get signed between now and July 24th, will be like one of those players most likely. Like, there will be 2 full teams of players that aren't signed because MLB knows the dudes are going to get infected and they're going to be on this special infected disabled list, injured list, sorry, for, you know, an indeterminate amount of time, and they're going to need like replacement players. They're making whole teams out of replacement players and it's still not going to be enough. They know that this is unsafe and they're doing it anyway. They know, like, it's unsafe.
And I will say, all these guys getting knocked out for knocked out for weeks at a time, that is actually kind of a best case scenario, because the other scenario is that they either don't disclose their symptoms, or the team wouldn't put it past a lot of teams right now to cover it up if the player is doing very well, and, you know, or that they don't actually adhere to a 2-week quarantine following a negative test, which they're supposed to do. There's all kinds of incredibly irresponsible scenarios that could get that player back on the field sooner. I mean, assuming, again, they can run, you know, or like climb stairs to get out of the dugout. You know, it took my mom like 2 weeks to be able to climb stairs. So let's not, you know, just count on that one working out. But like, yeah, the idea of a player being out for a really long time could actually be one of the responsible decisions.
Well, and also there was that poor Broadway star who ended up having his leg amputated. He was only in his 40s. So it affects everybody differently. And I don't know how, I mean, the Mets today said, you know, their overflow spring training or summer training now, their B squad is going to be in Coney Island. Like, great, put them in an amusement park near the beach. Great.
Where nobody's wearing masks or social distancing.
Yeah. And can you, and it's also, again, it comes down to trust. Can you trust them not to go out to eat? Can you, you hope, but how did the Phillies get that outbreak? They must have done something.
The Phillies have now had, what was it, 7 positive tests?
Yeah, because they had a couple more today, I think.
Yeah, so 30% of a major league roster, and they didn't even get it from they don't think it was, they got it from the facility.
No,
they got it from going out to a bar.
Yeah,
which lots of people are gonna do, and they're not necessarily gonna do it responsibly. I mean, not that there's really a responsible way to go to a bar right now, but they're gonna go out. They're not going to be sitting 6 feet away from each other or from anybody else for that matter. And it's going to go just like everybody could predict it will go.
Well, even Marcus Stroman, I love you, Marcus, but he was out there coaching a baseball, youth baseball team. Nobody's wearing masks. Nobody's social distancing. And in Florida.
Yeah, and not loving that.
No, and now he's coming back and not having to quarantine.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I mean, I am also, I feel myself getting very, very selfish about this because New York has worked very, very hard to pull itself out of actual hell, bodies in trucks kind of hell. And now there's going to be baseball players flying in from all over the country, the places in the country that have not, crushed the curve.
Country.
I don't want to see that happen.
It's they're coming from other countries too. So are they, and none of them have to quarantine for 2 weeks because they're not going to meet the deadline. If they're definitely not going to meet the July 1st deadline.
Yeah, I don't love it. It's not what I want for my city.
And if why, I don't get what's changed. March, one player test positive. Every sport shut down. Rudy Gobert tested positive before the Utah Jazz game. They canceled it. They canceled basketball and the dominoes fell. So what has changed from March?
People got bored. It became a political rallying cry.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are the two things that happened.
Is. That's it.
Yeah. And, the Stephanie Apstein article in Sports Illustrated.
Very good.
I think everybody should read that one. When she said having sports back is the treat you get for having a functioning society, and we don't have a functioning society.
Society is gonna have a little sports as a treat.
As a treat.
Yeah. No, we don't deserve a treat. No. New York does, but nobody else in this godforsaken country does.
We could have.
Like,
there was a series of choices that could have been made that would absolutely accommodate sports right now. Like, there's a reason that South Korea gets to have sports, and we do not.
Exactly.
Even though South Korea and the United States had their first recorded case on the same day.
Yep.
And it's because South Korea took a collectivist approach to a pandemic, which is the appropriate approach because it is a collective problem. And the United States took an individualist approach, and it has failed because pandemics are not an individual problem. So, there you go. That's it.
Who you are, where you are. What political party you're part of. The pandemic just doesn't care.
There's just all this, resentment. When I was discussing with people responding to Vaz's article, there's all this, I don't see why I, a healthy person, have to go through this. Can't we just keep the, vulnerable isolated while we are healthy people go about our lives. There's just so much wrong with that mindset that I don't even know where to begin. First of all, it's just so the utter lack of empathy for human life astounds me on a daily basis.
And the ableism as well.
Yeah. It's just,
so let's just take anybody with a set of pre-existing conditions and wall them off of society because they don't get to be part of it now.
Right. Exactly.
Because we don't want to wear masks.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's the attitude. And also, it's not even going to, even if you decided that that was the solution, it's not going to fix the problem because you're still going to spread it. You are. You healthy person who doesn't know you have it are going to spread it around anyway.
And it's also, I mean, it's not even like, it's not that we can never reopen or that we shouldn't be taking very measured, cautious steps towards some kind of reopening right now, even in certain areas, not Arizona, for example. But it's, I mean, it's a matter of like figuring out what is more important to humanity. Is it more important that we play a 60-game baseball season? And like, I think that's honestly pretty optimistic to think that all 30 teams will be able to last 60 games. Is it more important that we play that, or that like our kids get to go to school in September?
Yep.
Where is our priority? If we're going to take risks, are we taking the risks to make MLB a whole lot of money and like distract everyone for a few hours a day? Or are we taking the risks to like protect each other and rebuild, you know, bonds that are crumbling right now? Because I'll tell you what, every kid right now is freaking insane and desperately needs school in September, but we might not be able to get it because, you know, there's 1,200 MLB players seeding coronavirus everywhere they go for the next 2 weeks. Exactly. Just for example. This might be a personal topic of of import to me.
No, like, this is just, it's insane how people are prioritizing their entertainment over people's lives and over what is prudent. Like, I love baseball so much. I want baseball back so bad it hurts, but, like, I just...
I want baseball so bad, so much, I will still watch it. Even though it's going to be depressing and wrong and like morally bankrupt, I'm still gonna watch it because I suck.
Yep, same. But like, I know it's wrong. I know it's not safe. It's not safe to do this.
It's not safe. Don't do it, man. And I mean, I also like this. The thing is, you know, if the season starts July 24th, that is a long time. In pandemic years, a lot can happen. You know, a month ago, Texas and Florida and Arizona weren't spiking like crazy. And now they are seriously spiking and also not making any particular attempts to stem that. So, you know, sadly, the choice to not have a season may end up not being made by MLB after all. Like, it's very easy to see a scenario where this all gets called off at the last minute because shit is totally out of control. Because looking around the country, shit is totally out of control.
Yep. And like, I think what people don't understand about like the safety of returning to baseball is that the actual playing of the baseball game is the safest part of it. Like, we're not talking about the actual
players.
And the players
are also, like, the safest people in a lot of ways. The players themselves. Because they are, on average, healthy.
We're not talking about the actual playing of the baseball game. Like, the actual, like, 9 innings on the field is probably fine right now. But it's not about that. It's about what goes on in locker rooms. It's about what goes on the airplanes and other modes of transportation. It's about different cities being at different stages of reopening and the fact that MLB did not at all consult with local health officials about this. At all.
Which is not even to say that if they had been consulted, that they would have been comfortable giving their opinions as well, because local health officials all over the country are under immense pressure, many of them getting fired for not giving the recommendations that people want to hear.
Yup.
So, you know, not to say that
colleague in the New Jersey state government, in the New Jersey Health Department, I'm allowed to say this because it's public records in the news. My colleague in the New Jersey State Health Department was fired from his job because he refused to give Governor Murphy's aide free coronavirus tests for his family. That's where we're at.
It's all just so corrupt. And like, and I also, you know, I feel for the players a lot. I can, and you know, the guys who are just ready and raring to go, you know, I think, it's so clear that this is not the responsible choice, but like, they should not be the ones making that call, because it's not just about them, you know. And I see, you know, Pete Alonso. Oh, Pete, I love you, Pete. And his joy about baseball starting up, it breaks my heart, because he shouldn't have that joy right now. It's wrong, and he's not. It shouldn't be on him to make that call, because it's not about him. It's about what's best for the entire country, and what's best for the entire country is for everyone to stay at home, wear masks when you have to go out, socialize outdoors, again, in masks. Like, these are the things that we should be doing right now. Having entire baseball teams crisscrossing the country is absolutely not one of the things we should be doing right now under any circumstances.
It's insane. And, like, what about, like, ignoring the, like, economic pressures that we're talking about of, like, MLB being like, oh, but players are assets and they make us money and all that, like, sinister bullshit that is going on here. Like, what about the culture of baseball and sports in general makes you think that people will be honest about this and how they're feeling and how many players are infected and all sorts of stuff like that? Not only is there an economic imperative for them to lie about this stuff, there's a social imperative of, like, yep, you know, toxic masculinity for them to rub some dirt in it when they're sick and just keep playing.
Yeah, it's a huge cultural issue. And I mean, okay, and I will say, all right, you know, there's also, there is opportunity here. I don't know that it would be, that it's an opportunity that would be taken. But, you know, if we are stuck in a situation where baseball is going to happen, regardless of the incredible danger it poses to the cities around baseball, I would love to see them, you know, publicly wear masks. That would, that's something they could use, that cultural, that you know, that camaraderie they have, and that example that they said, they could use it to normalize mask wearing. I don't think they will, but like, if we're looking for silver linings, like, that's mine. I want to see Pete Alonso walking in and out of the stadium every day in, like, a, you know, and let's fucking go Mets mask. Like, I want every kid who sees a baseball player not in uniform to see him wearing a mask. And I want every tough guy who's like, masks are like diapers for your face, to see all of the, like, badass athletes around them wearing masks. Like, this is the one thing that I will tear out of this miserable season if I have to, is, like, wear the masks, show it, make it public, do it the right way.
Absolutely. Kind of like how we've seen, yeah. I mean, this is, like, a little bit different, but kind of like how we've seen a sea change come about as far as, like, showing your emotions on the field and bat flips and stuff like that. Like, we've, like, normalized those things against the, like, red asses who
I definitely, like, thought you said backflips for a while. And I was
also
like,
also backflips. Do backflips.
I was like, how did I miss the backflips? That's amazing.
Please do backflips. But, like, please. Flips, yeah, like, yeah, just flips. Showing emotions in general on the field and, like, being a human being, like, the fact that we've normalized that now against, you know, the tidal wave of red asses being like, me, showing me up, old school tradition, like, in the same vein, but players, MLB, baseball, collectively, has the power to shape the narrative and shape the culture. Use it.
But also, just shut it down. Please shut it down. I'm very nervous. I don't know. It's, you know, playgrounds opened around here. And, you know, we've gone at, like, the crack of dawn when there's no one around. And, like, the kids wear masks. And I sanitize their hands a million times. And it's wonderful. And I'm so relieved to be able to have that sort of, that stimulation for them, that opportunity. But I'm also, I go back and I look at the city's numbers every single day, and I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, because it's coming.
Yep.
And I don't know, this city just went through so much. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, me neither. It sucks. This sucks. I don't know. It's not great, guys.
To feel this way about baseball sucks extra. Like,
it does.
Because I do love baseball. I do want baseball.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, I don't know. It's just very depressing.
So the other thing that I want to touch on very briefly, because Maggie mentioned the Pete Olanto LFGM mask. I don't want to leave this episode out without a shout out to Phil Mushkin's utterly shit article about Pete Olanto.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh my God.
If I may, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. I will not let this episode rest without saying fuck that guy and fuck that stupid article. I will put that on the record. Please quote me. Pete, fuck that guy.
I hope Pete was throwing shade at him today.
Yeah.
With Pete, his tweet today.
What'd he tweet?
He just tweeted LFGM.
Oh, good. Yeah, please.
Yeah, because he's, but in like the context of being excited for this godforsaken plague-ridden season to start.
Yeah, in case y'all missed it somehow, Phil Mushkin of the New York Post wrote like an absolutely terrible like article. I mean, he is a known bad take haver, let's be clear. But this is one of the worst, it's not even his worst take, which is like really saying something. It's not even,
yeah,
because
his worst
10.
Take is usually racism.
Yeah.
So.
Like his worst take is like out and out racist. Although there is some light racism in this article too, to be clear, even though
that's
like
true.
Pete Alonso, a white guy, is the target. He can't go 3 seconds without mentioning the protesters also using profanity. So there is some light racism. However,
yes, as we all know, Black Lives Matter invented the F word.
Yes, and yes, absolutely. We are clutching our pearls collectively at that. So yeah, even though Pete Alonso is the target, there's still some white racism. But his worst takes involve like out and out racism, to be clear. But I will say that of his like bad takes, even though this isn't the worst like take in a vacuum, it's one of the worst timing of his bad takes of all time, because like not only is it just like, are you serious, like look the fuck around you to keep using the F word because it makes him angry and so I'm gonna keep doing it, look the fuck around you at what's happening in the world and this is the hill you're choosing to die on at this time, are you kidding me? So like there's that.
It's almost like he started writing this article a year ago,
right?
And then just like forgot about it and then came across it and was like, well, I can't think of anything better to write, so I'm just going to put this out. But let me add in a little postscript about protesters to make it relevant. It was so disconnected from any current activity around baseball or other. It was maybe not his worst take, but it was, I would say, his most unnecessary.
Most unnecessary take. Because,
like
again,
even his
like
colleagues went in on him.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that's how you know it's bad, when your old colleagues at the Post turn on you.
Yeah, when the other Post writers are like, we're not with him.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but he doesn't speak for us.
it's just, like, not only is it, like, the current like state of the world, like this is really what you're choosing to be upset about, like it's just like the LFGM thing happened last season and you're like mad about this now, many months later. It would be weird even if there wasn't a global pandemic and the world was falling apart, it would be weird to write about this many months later.
Like, why target Pete Alonso? Like, he's marketing the game, he's helping grow the game in a sport that's in desperate need of some positivity, and you just go
but
in
not
and
in that it? Conservative cookie cutter model that they want.
Yeah,
it's growing the game in the wrong direction in there.
Those damn youths always ruin everything. Get off my lawn, get off my baseball diamonds.
First Cespedes wears his hat backwards. Now this
yes as we know Cespedes invented backward hat wearing.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, would you say the same? I don't know. I answered my own question. The same thing about Griffey, but yes, the same thing was said about Griffey.
Oh, absolutely, same thing would be said.
That was one of the original, like, dog whistle moment. I mean, not one of the dog whistles have been plentiful forever, but that was one of my formative, like, that seems.
I don't think that's
specific.
Right. Yeah, huh.
It seems like that particular player is being targeted in a way that other players are not, and I wonder why that is.
Like, well, these articles keep talking about Ken Griffey Jr., but then they start talking about, like, rap and skipping school. That's kind of a weird leap to take.
Yeah, huh. How does that go together?
Hmm.
Although I do have to say one of the best parts of the induction ceremony was when he got his hat, and then he turned it on backwards.
Yes. Very good. Highly good. And also, Griffey talked shit about the Yankees recently, which is awesome.
Yes, that's right. Was also very nice. He would retire than take a contract from the Yankees.
We stand.
We definitely stand. He was always one of my favorite non-Nets growing up.
Griffey's awesome.
Lots of love. Awesome.
But yeah, couldn't let this episode slide without a quick shout-out to that absolutely terrible article.
Don't read it. But
don't read it. We're not going
to
link
it. But read the replies to the tweets of it.
Yes. Absolutely. Read the tweets. Don't read the piece. Read the tweets. Because they're
good. I was on Mets Morning News that day, and I didn't link to it. I was like, I'm not giving this guy clicks.
No, don't.
Cool. So we're very dismayed that there's going to be a season, but there's going to be one. It's not much we can do about it. So that's the show. But we are going to finish things off, like we always do, on a positive note, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win, well, it was Father's Day on Sunday, and for the first time since February, my sister, my brother-in-law, and her two kids came over the house. And we had a barbecue, so I got to see my niece and my nephew in person. Well, I saw them on my nephew's birthday, but this is the first time they came over our house. See, this is, you know, making sacrifices. It's doable. It wasn't fun. I missed them. And FaceTiming just definitely wasn't the same. But I finally got a hug, too. I was like, I haven't had a Emily hug in so long. Because then when I did see her, we would just, like, elbow bump. So I'm like, I finally got my hug again. I was like, I don't know how much I've missed this. And so we, you know, barbecued and, you know, just had a quiet Father's Day with my dad, but it just felt so good finally after March, April, May, June, 4 months of them not coming over the house. So I finally got a hug from both my niece and my nephew. So that's my walk up. But it's the little things. I think we've said that before, is, you know, you have to take the wins where you can get them. And that was definitely my win for this week.
Amen. Little things.
Hell yes.
Maggie, what is your walk off win for this week?
So kind of similar, in a similar vein. I saw some friends yesterday. These are like my gal pals who I see, like, every week. We go out to do bar trivia together, and like they are some of my friends without kids, and it is my like mom time away to just relax and be myself. And it's funny because I've held like my experience of the beginning of this pandemic is very much tied in with them, because it was a Wednesday night, our trivia night, when I was sitting with them, like skimming through my phone. And I looked at them, I was like, guys, they just canceled the NBA. And that was it. That was everything changed like very quickly from that moment. And we all knew it. At the end of that night, we were like, see you guys next week. And we certainly did not see each other next week. So yesterday we hung out at, you know, one of one of us had like a little backyard area, and we sat 6 feet away from each other with our own drinks and, you know, and you know, walked 25 blocks to get there. And so we were on the subway, and like, it was just very like nice and normal. And it, and times it felt kind of like downery in the moment, because we were just talking about all the shit that we are talking about right now, much of it. But man, ever since then, I have just felt like a new human. Like, it's just the most like refreshing thing I have had in a very long time. So that's my recommendation to everyone out there, is like, go stand 6 feet away from your friends.
Yes, I
wear
agree.
A mask. Get a straw for your drink so you can poke it up the bottom of the mask. And just like, just chill. And yeah. I can tell you, you don't have to be crammed into questionable outdoor seating at a restaurant to do this. In fact, you know, it's even better to not.
It does so much good for your mental health. It really does.
For sure.
Yeah,
like, you don't realize how much you are missing something until you do it.
Yeah. That was fabulous. Definitely. Highly recommend.
I think one of my walk-off wins, like, a couple weeks ago was, like, me stopping by Delaware on the way down to Baltimore to move my stuff out of my house to see my friends. And we kind of did the same thing. I, like, stopped there for, like, half an hour on the way, and we just, like, stood 6 feet apart from each other and talked. And I was like, I'm having a conversation with my friends. Like, that is something that I had taken for granted for my whole life until now.
Yeah.
Like,
and this is also the stuff that if shit goes really bad because people don't want to wear masks and they want to go bowling and whatnot, this is what we lose.
Yep.
Yep.
So wear the mask.
Yep.
Don't go bowling.
Don't go bowling.
Anyway. Well, they'll still do it even if they're sick. The type that don't wear the mask are, but this is supposed to be a happy ending. So
sorry.
Walk-off win. So my walk-off win this week, even though it was anxiety inducing when it comes to the whole like COVID situation, is that Michael and I went apartment hunting over the weekend in DC. We had seen a couple places virtually because they were doing like virtual tours in light of everything that's going on. But there's kind of no substitute for like seeing a place in person. And so like a couple of the places that we saw virtually are now like since vacant because the tenants moved out. And so we got to see like the empty version in person. And so we donned our masks and gloves and brought lots of hand sanitizer and saw apartments. And as of yesterday, we signed a lease on one of them. So Yay! We officially have an apartment in DC, and I'm very excited about it. It's a two bedroom. We ultimately decided that having the second bedroom was worth the money because we kind of had a mix of two and one bedrooms on our radar. And like initially I was like kind of leaning toward a one bedroom just because like, you know, DC is a really expensive place to live in case you guys didn't know. I mean, I guess that's like spoiled coming from like a bunch of people who listening to this who probably live in New York City, which is pretty much the most
expensive
place. It's
fine. I wasn't going to mention it.
No, I wasn't either because Westchester's no.
But DC is not cheap. Let me just tell you, like outside of like basically New York and like San Francisco, I guess maybe it's like one of the most expensive cities in the country.
Yeah,
to
DC
live in.
Is expensive. It's true.
And especially after living in Baltimore for 6 years, I got a lot of sticker shock seeing those DC rents, let me just tell you. But, you know, like, and this is like something like COVID is impacting, and I don't mean this, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer about walk-off wins because I want this to be happy, but like I will say just factually that COVID is having like a huge impact on all of our lives in ways that we don't even think about. And one of those ways is that when we were apartment hunting, like it really changed our calculus regarding like what we were trying to look for. Like originally having two bedrooms was like kind of one of those like it'd be nice to have, but you know, maybe saving the money is more important. But now I'm kind of like, I think we need a home office because, like, I'm going to be starting remotely, definitely. Like, bare minimum, I won't be in office until September. And, like...
Well, I could Debbie Downer you one more, is that y'all might have to quarantine from each other.
Yeah, it's possible. Ooh, I mean, yeah. It is possible.
I'm the worst.
And but so, anyway. Yeah, in that, like, in case that terrible scenario plays out, like, we have the ability to do it, whereas in a one-bedroom apartment, we kind of wouldn't be able to. So there's that, and there's also just the ability to work, like, in our respective jobs without being on top of each other. Like, I am definitely starting remotely. Michael is a school teacher, and so, like, we don't, as Maggie alluded to earlier, we don't know about the status of the
school
year.
Nobody knows.
Coming up. So it's possible that he might have to start remote learning his very first year as a teacher. I do not envy him at all having to, like, that's your very first time as a teacher. You have to start remote learning. I'm like, I can't even conceive of that. That's why it's your job and not mine.
No, having that second bedroom is always a clutch choice, though, if you can. Yeah.
Yep. Like, so we ended up with a two-bedroom place, and I am, even though I sent the security deposit, I'm like, money. I'm like, not regretting it one bit, though. Happy to have secured that two-bedroom place. So, but I'm very excited. I'm very excited because all the pegs are in place. Got the job. Got the apartment. Ready to go. Now I just have to do this sucky part, which is moving. I actually
moving's the worst.
Yeah, we're in the same boat, Allison.
Moving sucks, man. During like non-COVID times, like I actually enjoy like apartment hunting and like that whole process. Like I'm extremely type A, and like I enjoy like making little spreadsheets of like allows pets, what's the pet fee, square footage, how many bedrooms, like parking, like all the things you consider with apartments, and like looking at pictures on Zillow. Like I'm one of those like psychopath weirdos that like browses Zillow when I'm like not actively searching for apartments, because like I just enjoy it. I'm weird, but like
my understanding is that that's the normal, because everyone I know does that, and I'm the weird one for being like, ugh, apartments, no thank you.
See, no,
so
I think
you're in the clear.
Yeah, no, I know that there's, like, a whole subculture of it, and, like, I definitely am not alone, but I feel like a weirdo. Like, I'm like, this is not, like, normal, like, psychological behavior. But anyway, I enjoy it because I'm very type A, so the actual, like, apartment hunt part, like, looking at things on Zillow, like, going to look at apartments, I find fun. Obviously, like, the fun was dimmed because of anxiety, because of, like, COVID stuff, but, like, you know, in normal times, I would have found that fun. Moving is never fun in any circumstance at all. So, like, that's the part, you know, that's what's coming up. Not looking forward to that. But once we're all settled, it'll be great. I'm just like, you know, moving's not going to be fun. But it has to happen.
No, especially in the summer, too, because then it's going to be hot and you're moving stuff. And,
it's going to be late July. Oh, yeah. It's not going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, yeah. I don't have much because I have to buy everything. So I just basically have to move my clothes.
Oh, I have, like, tons of crap in a storage unit at this time.
But at least then it is halfway there.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to pack it. You just have to unpack it.
There's some stuff in New Jersey I have to pack. Obviously, most of the furniture here at my parents' house is not mine. Belongs to my parents / my childhood self. But I obviously have, like, some stuff here that's mine, like, namely my clothes and, like, a lot of other belongings. But, like, those will probably go down there, like, kind of slowly over time. My goal is to get as much of the small stuff done as possible so that on the day that we hire the movers, it's really just the furniture and that's it.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I tried cleaning out my closet, and I got two bags of stuff, and it's still packed. I'm like, where did all this stuff come from?
Cleaning out my closet.
I was singing that to myself.
The Eminem classic.
We've acquired so much stuff just since the start of COVID that I just have, like, storage bins sitting out in my apartment full of crap. And it's bad enough now, but I'm constantly aware that, like, the next time we have to move, we have everything that we had before, plus an entire other child, and then just these bins of stuff just sitting there.
Yep.
It is.
So much.
I'm not looking forward to it.
I am extremely going, at least when it comes to clothes, I'm extremely going to Marie Kondo the shit out of my life before I actually pack it, because we need to not bring everything that I currently have.
See, my plan was to just take my summer stuff and leave my winter stuff and my parents and not have to deal with it until I have to.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Out of sight, out of mind until absolutely necessary.
Yeah. So that is the show this week. You can go to AmazonAvenue.com to read all of our fantastic content. We are covering all the latest news about the now ill-advised season that is happening. Read Vaz's piece especially. Since the season is happening, we will obviously be covering it because that's our job. And so you will start to see game recaps and things that we haven't seen in quite a while. So even though we feel very conflicted about the season happening, I feel very excited to do game recaps again. That'll be fun. You'll begin to see game recaps from us. Look forward to that. Go to AmazonAvenue.com, read all of our content. You can follow Amazon Avenue on all of the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Amazon Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter, at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please subscribe to the entire suite of Amazon Avenue audio podcasts. They're all wonderful. Leave us a review. It really helps people find the show. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.